Please forgive me for giving you a Wednesday night sermon on Sunday morning. But I felt like through prayer that the vast majority of people here today will probably be Christians, believers. And I wanted to try to share something that God has touched my heart about in recent days through study. And I hope it'll do the same for you. Keep your Bibles open because we'll be looking at some other passages of Scripture. Genesis 49, I want to look at one verse. Let's just look at verse 27 for time's sake. Genesis 49 and verse 27. Benjamin shall raven as a what? A wolf. In the morning he shall devour the prey, and at night he shall divide the spoil. Let me stop with that and just give you a little rundown of what's happening. Jacob is now at the end of his life, and he has three deathbed scenes in the Bible. Genesis chapter 47, Genesis chapter 48, and Genesis chapter 49. You know, you can tell a person what they really are when they get to the end of the journey. Because when they're making their crossing, whatever is in them has a tendency to come out of them. And he wants to see his kids and his sons come together. This particular chapter is the chapter where that he is prophesying and blessing his sons at the same time. Now, it's a little strange because it's not in the birth order, and I don't have time to go into all of that, but he's calling them out one by one, and he reveals things to them that are obvious. Isn't it funny sometimes what we can't see in ourselves is so obvious to everybody else? And there's just some things that's obvious to him. And he's giving them this revelation about themselves, and it's also a prophecy to them of some of the things they're going to see and do in the future. When he comes to Benjamin, Benjamin is the youngest of the sons of Jacob, or as he became known, Israel. And he's now prophesying to Benjamin. Now here's what caught my attention. In this passage of Scripture, he says, Benjamin shall raven as a wolf. In my mind, maybe I'm different from you as you study the Bible, but in my mind, I never thought of Benjamin as a wolf. He was the youngest, and being the youngest, he was watched over and cared for. He almost seems to me, in fact, I've heard sermons where he's likened unto little Benjamin. Everybody's watching out for him. He's the youngest of the sons. The father's watching out. His poor mother died when she was giving birth to him. And it seems like that he's needy, not a wolf. He seems, I don't want to picture him as weak, but he seems like a daddy's boy. He seems like everybody's watching out for Benjamin. You don't watch out for a wolf. You chase a wolf away. Nobody wants a wolf in their backyard. Nobody wants a wolf around, at least if you've got a dog, a little house dog, you sure don't want a wolf around. Because wolves are not known to be needy in any sense of the word. They're somewhat of a predator, if you will. But he calls him a wolf. Benjamin's life is really a life of controversy. From all of his life, it seems like Benjamin creates conflict his whole life. When he was born in Genesis 35 and verse 18, Rachel is dying, and as she is dying, before she departs, she is travailing in childbirth, knowing that she's dying, and her dying words are, "Name him Benoni." In the same verse, she has died and his father says, "Call him Benjamin." So the mother says, "Call him Benoni." Benoni means son of my sorrow. Benjamin means son of my right hand or son of the right hand. So in the beginning, there's a conflict. His wife wants him named one thing. His dad wants him named something else. You don't think that creates conflict? When mom wants one thing for a child and dad wants something else? But of course, the name Benjamin stuck. Then there's conflict throughout his whole life, sometimes over who's going to take care of him. When it came time to go down to Egypt, you remember Jacob sent his sons down to Egypt, not knowing that Joseph was there when they went down. They wanted to take Benjamin with them, but of course, we know Jacob said, he's staying with me. When they get there, not knowing that it's Joseph, he questions them and he says, is your father still living? Yes. How many brethren do you have? 12. Well, where's your other brothers? One missing was him and the other was Benjamin. And he said, go and get Benjamin. But of course, Jacob didn't want Benjamin to go. Judah said, I'll swear that I'll take care of him. And watch out. There's always a conflict with Benjamin because everybody's trying to take care of Benjamin. You don't see him as a wolf. You see him as someone that's being taken care of. But he's a wolf. So really the first thing we see in Benjamin's life is that he's likened to a beast, a wolf. The text tells us he devours. To raven means to tear to pieces. I don't picture Benjamin as a troublemaker. I don't see him destroying people. I don't see him tearing things apart. When I read in the Bible about Benjamin, he's saying, I'm revealing something to you that is in you, Benjamin, that you don't see in yourself. So he not only devours, but he divides. He takes the spoil and he divides it by night is what the text said. So he not only devours, tears to pieces, but he divides. I don't see Benjamin as a church splitter. There's some people, if they walk through the door, I start praying immediately because everywhere they've gone, they've devoured and divided. Can I give you a word of advice? If you've been in 15 churches and all 15 churches were wrong, maybe it's not the churches. Maybe it's you. Maybe you're not looking inside your heart to say, am I the type of personality that I devour and divide? It's easy to divide. I can't believe how people divide. I've had people come to me, and even some of you, you go to others and you tell things on other people. Well, I heard. Don't you ever repeat what you heard. You only repeat what you know. Amen. Don't shout me down now. You can still say amen with a mask on. If you don't feel comfortable because you feel hot with that mask on, just raise your hand instead of saying amen. But the truth of the matter is, there's some people that they love to divide. They love to tear down. There's people that'll come all the time and they'll tell me, did you know this about it? I said, I don't want to hear that. I don't need to hear that. You don't need to hear that. Gossip's a terrible thing. Destroys people. Don't just listen. You know, there's people that'll make up things about other people just to try to destroy them. Because they devour, they divide, and he was determined. If you read it, he was at it in the morning and he was at it at night. He never stopped. He kept going. Can I tell you something? There is an enemy of our soul and there is an enemy against us that he never stops morning and night. He's always after it. He's like a wolf too. And he's like a lion that's after prey. And he's out to destroy. And he's out to devour. And he's out to divide. And he's determined. He never quits. That's his nature. So Benjamin has this nature as a wolf. Now stay with me. But will you turn, if you will, to the book of Deuteronomy, chapter 33. Turn to Deuteronomy, chapter 33. This is the blessing of Moses, not the blessing of Jacob. The blessing of Moses on the sons of Jacob, on the tribes, the 12 tribes. Deuteronomy, chapter 33. and go to verse 12, because we just want to look at Benjamin for a moment. Now, his daddy said, you're like a what? You're like a what? Wolf. You're devouring. You're dividing. You're determined. But listen to what Moses says of Benjamin in verse 12. And of Benjamin, he said, what's the next two words? The beloved of the Lord shall dwell in safety by him, and the Lord shall cover him all the day long, and he shall dwell between his shoulders. So his daddy pictures him as a beast, but Moses says he's beloved. You see any difference in those two statements? He says you're so beloved of the Lord that you dwell in safety by him. You're not safe when there's a wolf in the house. You're not safe when there's a wolf waiting outside the door. But now he's saying you're going to dwell in the same person. Here's the same person that devours is now dwelling in safety by the Lord. The Lord covers him. Sounds like the Lord has a special affection. And I love the phrase, he dwells between his shoulders. Do you know what that statement in Jewish terminology means? You have that same statement in your New Testament. In the Greek, it's found in Luke chapter 15. Jesus was giving some great lessons, and he talked about the prodigal son and the lost coin, and what was the other? The 90 and 9, the sheep that was lost. And when he left the 90 and 9 and he went to the sheep that was lost and he found the sheep that was lost, what did he do with it? Put it on his shoulders and carried it. In other words, the sheep was so weak and so dependent for the sheep to feel safe, he laid the lamb, glory to God, on his shoulders to carry it. To say, I'm going to carry you through all of this. It is a picture of a shepherd carrying a lamb, because the shepherd loves the lamb. The shepherd would die for the lamb. The shepherd comes between the lamb and the enemy that attacks. The shepherd allows the lamb to be dwelling in safety by him. You're not safe because of you. You're safe because God is watching out over you. So his daddy says, you're a wolf. And Moses says, you're a lamb. Same person. A wolf and a lamb. Will you give me maybe just 10 more minutes? A wolf and a lamb. Do you know what Benjamin is a picture of? He's a picture of a beast. He's a picture of the beloved. But he's a picture of every believer. Hold on now. Me, you, I don't care how long you've been saved. I don't care if you've been saved an hour, a day, a year, or 50 years, or 70 years. I don't care how long you've been saved. Every believer has two natures. Inside of every one of us, there is a wolf. And there is a lamb. Maybe you're not ready for this today. Maybe I better. See, it is a picture that when Paul wrote about it, he said, when I would do good, evil is always present. And then by the time you get to Galatians, he said, for the flesh lusteth against the spirit, and the spirit against the flesh. And these are contrary the one to another. You know what he's saying? There is a constant war inside of us between the flesh and the spirit. Now, an unbeliever just has one nature. You're a wolf. Sorry about that. You're a wolf and you'll never be anything else until you get saved. And then you've got a nature of a lamb inside of you. So now you're dealing with the lamb and the wolf. See, some of you, you're in church right now. The nature of the lamb comes out. Tomorrow, you go to work and somebody says the wrong thing or looks the wrong way at you, and the nature of the wolf comes out. You drive down the road, you've got your music playing through your speakers, and you're saying, glory to God, blessed beyond measure. Then somebody cuts you off, And the spirit of the lamb becomes the spirit of the wolf. I hope I'm being clear to you. See, there's two walks in everyone. There's the walk of the wolf, cunning. A wolf is cunning and calculated. And there's the walk of the lamb, carried, dependent on God. It's funny how we can manipulate so many things, and then at times we're so dependent on God with other things. Two walks. One is destructive and one is dwelling in safety. So, how do we deal with these two natures? Boy, it's quiet now. I don't know if you're bored or you're listening. How do we deal with these two natures? What do you do about it? How do you make sure that the wolf doesn't win out over the lamb? How do we make sure that the lamb is seen more than the wolf? Now, for those that constantly try to convince me that they never have this problem, all you have to do is say, "You're lying," and you'll see the wolf come out. I have it. I have this problem. Do you have this problem, Brian? I don't mean to put you on the spot. You have this problem. Brian's assistant pastor. I'm a pastor. I have this problem. Howard, you're a deacon. Kevin, you're a deacon. You have this problem. Is it a battle? It's a battle. But look at there. Bob, you're a deacon. You have this problem? Yeah. I'm not trying to embarrass anyone. Some of you don't hold any offices in the church at all. But you have this problem, Dave? You have this problem? Yeah. How many of you have this problem? Oh. Well, then it sounds like I am on the right track. We got to figure out how these can dwell together. Because you can't get, just because you're saved, the old nature doesn't leave. See, I don't want to get ahead of myself. You got to look ahead to understand how they can dwell together. Would you do me a favor, do one more? Go to Isaiah chapter 11. Go to Isaiah chapter 11. So we've got two natures. What are they? A wolf and a lamb. Let's look for it. Isaiah chapter 11. I believe, you can disagree and that's okay, but I believe this is a chapter that deals with the millennial reign of Christ. It is a time when he'll come out of, there'll be a root out of Jesse that will rule with an iron rod, and Jerusalem will be the capital of the entire world. Hallelujah. And there'll be peace and there'll be safety, and it'll be a time where there's no wars, and Jesus will sit on the throne of David in the mighty city of God, and there'll be peace throughout the earth for a 1,000-year period. Satan will be bound. Glory to God. The devil will be chained. I'm about to preach this morning. Glory to God. The devil will have no rule, no reign, no ability. Peace, safety, no murders, no wars, no gossip, no lying, no sin. Thank God, little children will live in harmony. No hunger, there'll be no problems, there'll be no politics. The Lamb will reign on the throne. Glory to God. What a time! What a time! Oh, bless his name. And in that, Isaiah, looking prophetically, says in verse 6, are you there? The what? The wolf also shall dwell with the what? The lamb. Oh. How many of you know that don't happen? Right now, that don't happen. You put a wolf in a pen with a lamb, goodbye lamb. It'll destroy it. But now the wolf is in submission. In submission. Cannot destroy the Lamb. So they dwell together in safety. That's looking ahead. So how does that happen? I could read the rest of the verse. Well, I'll just go ahead and read it. The leper shall lie down with the kid and the calf and the young lion and the fatling together, and a little child shall lead them. And a little child shall lead them. This is for all of you that say, don't you ever let kids say anything, or don't you ever let them do anything. Judson, you go right ahead, buddy. You keep going. A little child shall lead them. You know why a little child shall lead them? Because most people, they're too arrogant for God to ever lead them any other way. Pride. A little child shall lead them. A little child shall lead them. A child shall teach you something. A child shall do. He didn't say a preacher shall lead them. He didn't say a theologian shall lead them. He didn't say an apologist shall lead them. He didn't say a Bible college professor shall lead them. He said a child shall lead them. I'm about to turn loose this morning. Stay with me. How does a wolf and a lamb dwell together? That's the question. What's the difference? Now I'm going to tell you the answer that people have given me. They say, well, Jesus will then be King of Kings and Lord of Lords. And to that answer, no, wrong, done. He's King of Kings and Lord of Lords right now. He's not going to be King of Kings and Lord of Lords. You remember this. He's in charge now. All enemies are subject to him and under his feet now. Not going to be now. Well, why do they dwell together? Well, it's because Christ is reigning now, and Christ will reign then. The difference is not Christ. The difference is society and individuals. In that day, he reigns now and will reign then. Are you with me? Do you believe Jesus is Lord now? That's what the Bible says. Do you believe he's going to be Lord then? Do you believe he's Lord of all now? Do you believe he's Lord of all then? What's the difference? If he reigns now and he reigns then, here's the difference. People recognize it. They recognize that he's King of Kings. They recognize that he's Lord of Lords. They recognize that he has all power. They recognize that every enemy is under his foot. Then they recognize it. Can I tell you there's only one way, if you're a believer, for the wolf and the lamb to dwell together safely inside of you? You've got to do now what the world's going to do then. You've got to recognize the authority of the lordship of Jesus Christ and submit yourself to the lordship of Jesus Christ and say he rules and reigns in all things. And if he rules and reigns in all things are subject to him. I recognize right now, Jesus, you are King of Kings and Lord of Lords. I am your servant and you are my God and my Lord. You are in control of all things. Lord, you never fail and you have all power. I submit myself to your will, your way, your plan. Lord, you are King of Kings and Lord of Lords. I recognize it, and because I recognize it, when the wolf tries to rise up over the lamb, you'll hear a voice of the Spirit say, Jesus is Lord. He's Lord over that nature. He's Lord over that thing that destroys and devours and divides. Hallelujah. He's Lord over it if we recognize and submit to his authority. Glory to God. Well, I am trying to close. What we have to do is yield to the authority of Christ. That is called sanctification. That's what it's called. Lost half of you right there. See, I'm already going to get a bunch of nasty letters, emails, texts. It's okay. That's why if you come from a background that they told you when you were sanctified, the old nature was totally eradicated, that's not sound doctrine. You still got both natures. I'm telling you, I know you people. And I know me. I've still got both natures. It's not a matter. See, that's an easy way out. Then what happens is you say, I couldn't sin if I wanted to. Well, that means that you couldn't backslide. And that means you already backslid. I'm in a fight all of my life to the grave against both natures. But it takes the sanctifying power of God to overcome the wolf inside of me, to let the lamb inside of me prevail. We make a conscious decision within ourselves, just like salvation is not forced on us, sanctification is not forced on us. We make a constant decision to say, Lord, I yield myself to you. All that I am, all that I ever will be, it'll be for your glory. And if I don't let the lamb prevail, and unless I recognize your authority, I cannot live a sanctified, separated, holy life. And the wolf wins. You say, I'm never coming back. It's because you're a wolf. See, if you're a lamb, I'd hate to think I'm so weak spiritually that one sermon or one statement could drive me out of a church. What if someone makes an incorrect statement? What if someone says something that I don't totally agree with? I should have enough lamb in me to say if Jesus could look at those that falsely accused him and beat him, did horrible things, and say, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. I ought to have enough common sense to pray for somebody that God will give them knowledge and understanding. If you don't agree with me, don't let the wolf rise up in you. Let the lamb rise up and pray for me. Don't beat me, pray for me. When someone in this church does something that you don't like, offend you in some way, don't let the wolf rise up and devour and cut them out of your life. Let the lamb arise and say, what would happen in a case like this if Jesus dealt with that? He would love his enemies. And that's what we ought to do.